Blog Talk Radio.
With Commissioner T. It is Friday, November 2nd. Welcome to the show. First, let me extend all of the Madden Voices best wishes to anyone affected by Hurricane Sandy. I've been watching a lot of the coverage over the last few days. I'm here in Connecticut. Certainly the Connecticut coast was hit very, very hard, as was New York, as was New Jersey. And every day you're just hearing more and more devastation. And all our prayers are to all the families that were affected. And we just hope that, you know, you can get back on track as soon as possible. There's a lot of resources and a lot of aid coming. I know it's frustrating if you're sitting without power right now. I'm sure you're not listening to the Madden Voice. But in the unlikely event that maybe someone out there who is affected is and just needs a break, I hope to entertain you for the next hour. I hope to bring football into your life, and I hope to put a smile on your face. And for those of you who may catch us in an archive in the future, you know, Madden Voice will be here week after week to talk about football and to entertain you. And unlike First Take, we're not going to talk basketball because we're not a basketball show. We're a football show. So if you want to just talk football, tune into the Madden Voice. Lunch with Commissioner T. Glad you could join me. And thanks for all of the support. It's been overwhelming, more than we expected when we said, you know, I talked to Train and K-Star and said, hey, should I do a show? And they're like, hey, you know, T, you know, if that's what you want to do, go for it. And your response to this show has just been overwhelming. So thank you for the support. And if you are out there and want to call in, it's 347-838-9525. Chat room is open. Of course, you can catch us on Twitter at the Madden Voice, and of course the Madden Voice page on Facebook. I want to jump right into my man K-Star. I got to jump right into K-Star because K-Star, you know, he was on the show Tuesday night. And K-Star, for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, co-host of the Madden Voice and also considered one of the best Madden video game players out there. And up until Tuesday night, about 15 minutes before we went off the air, I fully respected K-Star's NFL acumen, which is one of the reasons why he's a co-host on the Madden Voice. And then he started talking this lunacy about the Packers being higher than the Bears because they beat the Bears, and the Bears not being a top five team in the NFL, and all this lunacy. But then at the end, he said, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I overlooked the Bears. It was just a mental gaffe. I was trying to defend it, but I can't defend it. You guys are right. I was wrong. Overlooked them, and I don't know what I was thinking. Of course, the Bears are a top five team. They're 6-1. And we said, okay, I mean, it happened, you know. You think about players and teams and, you know, K-Star, his Steelers in the AFC. And, you know, maybe he didn't realize, it slipped his mind the Bears were even there. And that's okay. I mean, it happened, you know, it happens. But now he's come up with some more lunacy. Now he's quoting his former coach, Bill Cowher, who says bench Tony Romo. And what really aggravates me, K-Star, is yes, you put something on Twitter and you put something on Facebook. You didn't go to the Madden Voice page. Did you forget you're a co-host of the Madden Voice? I mean, this is a football topic. I don't understand why you wouldn't put something on the Madden Voice page, but you put something on your page. I don't get it. I mean, you are a co-host, and it's a topic that you want to discuss in lieu of a show. I mean, you would think that you would go to the Madden Voice on Facebook and put something out there. I don't get it. But anyway, I saw it on his page. And this is what my co-host, And the man who does sound off every week said, I agree with this. Cowboys D has been very good all year, and the carelessness Romo has displayed this year with the footballs killing the Cowboys, league leader in interceptions, and Romo is very capable. Okay. Now, Train, my other co-host, who is a Bears fan, and for those of you football aficionados out there, you have to know that Orton played for the Bears. And so certainly of the three of us that host the Madden Boys, Train is probably best suited to judge whether Orton has the skills and the aptitude it takes to not just necessarily be a starter, because he's been a starter, but should he get an opportunity over Romo? You know, is he that talented? Is this a Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez type situation? And here's Train's comments, and I'm reading. And by the way, Train, you know, he has his PhD, and he's been traveling. I don't expect him on the show today. He's been traveling and looking into some business opportunities. And I just want to say, if he does listen to the archive, he's out there listening. Train, you know, we're praying for you. We hope those business opportunities come through for you. Good man, smart guy. And you deserve the best. So, and hey, if you guys, you know, send Train some love on the Madden Voice Facebook page or tweet him. But we're thinking about your Train and hope that your trip yields some positive results. But anyway, Train responds and he says, and replace him with who? Definitely not Orton. I may not be a Cowboy fan, but that would be a mistake. Romo is the best option at QB, period. Okay? And here is K-Star's reaction. I'm reading this as we speak. Orton's a viable starter in this league, is he? I mean, he took a job as a backup. I mean, how many jobs was he offered at the end of last season as a starter? If he's a viable starter, why isn't he starting? I mean, did you anybody out there watch The Social Network, the movie The Social Network, about the starting of Facebook? And the guy who played Zuckerberg said to the twins, here's the problem. If you're sitting here telling me that you created Facebook. Well, if you had created Facebook, then you would have created Facebook. Yeah, I think it was the line of the movie. You didn't create it. I created it, period. So I'm sitting here saying, if he's a viable starter, why isn't he on the team now? Why did he take a job? He didn't have to take a job. He wasn't traded. He signed as a free agent as a backup to Tony Romo. He took that job knowing that he was going to be a backup. Maybe he realized Tony's had some injuries. He had, you know, punctured lung last year and a broken rib, and he had a broken collarbone the year before, and he figured, okay, maybe I'll get an opportunity. I don't know. I don't know Kyle Orton. But don't tell me he's a viable starter when he didn't get an offer as a viable starter. Anyway, and he says, that's part of the reasons why they brought him in. They didn't bring him in to start. Hey, K-Star, credibility as an analyst. You didn't bring him in to start. You brought him in because he can fill in gaps if Romo goes down. But in no way, shape, or form was Kyle Orton brought in to start for the Dallas Cowboys. That is lunacy. Carl was saying the same, the 34th in the NFL in turnovers. True. And the QB is leading the league in picks. It cost them wins at this point. With that defense playing as good as it has, they just need to calm down with all the costly turnovers. And again, with QB leading the league in interceptions, it's easy to see what it is. So simply look at one stat and bench your franchise quarterback, right? Train's response. Find it interesting that people want to quickly replace Romo now that the Cowboys' defense is starting to pick up a bit. Last year, Romo did his thing, and defense fell short several times over. Orton may be a viable starter to you, but he's not better than Romo for the Cowboys. Cowboys need to fix the communication on offense, find the run game regardless of injury. Maybe easier said than done, but that's what has to happen. And Orton is not the answer, neither is Tebow. And K-Star says he's leading the league in picks, and they already had their bye. I have no idea what that means. Yeah, and I remember when Cutler held the same title, still wouldn't take Orton for him. So, you know, I appreciate the back and forth there, and I still have to say I don't understand why K-Star didn't bring this to the Madden Voice page. I'm going to get on about that because that's what the page is there for. But, you know, and so he says to me that, he says Bill Carr said it on Inside the NFL. I got to admit, I didn't see Inside the NFL. But first of all, let's just take a look at Bill Carr. Now, Bill Carr is an excellent coach. Okay, let's not let's not mince words. He was a great NFL coach. There's no. I'm not going to sit here and hate on Bill Cowher as an NFL coach. He was 15 years in the Steelers organization. I think maybe three losing seasons in 15 years. Two Super Bowl appearances, one Super Bowl win, 62% winning record in the regular season, 57% in the offseason. I'm sorry, the postseason, and just, you know, a heck of a coach. And one of the guys that always pops up when you start talking about teams out there that need a fiery leader, Bill Cowher is that guy. And there's no doubt about it. But let's not gloss over the fact that he coached the Pittsburgh Steelers and that he went to two Super Bowls. And the first one was a loss. Super Bowl 30 was a loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Let's not gloss over the fact that his career coaching record against the Dallas Cowboys is 1-2. Okay? I don't want to say that he's biased, but there might be just a little bit of that. And let me read a quote from Bill Cowher done 2 weeks ago. This was before the Carolina game. This is Bill Cowher on NFL Today 2 weeks ago. I think a defining moment for quarterbacks, when you talk about quarterbacks, is for Tony Romo. The last three games, they've averaged 14 points a game. He has all these weapons. He's got DeMarco Murray, Felix Jones, Jason Witten. He said Austin Miles. Miles Austin. Kevin Ogletree has stepped up. No, he hasn't. One good game. He's got a top five defense. Four of the next five games are on the road. But if he does not produce, look for Kyle Orton, possibly to get a chance, because right now he has a put up or shut up. It's a defining moment in his career. So, 2 weeks ago, you were saying he's got five games and he needs to produce. He won the first game against Carolina, 19 points on the board as opposed to the 14 points a game. He did have a rough start against the Giants, but did bring them back and put them in position to win and put up 24 points. So in two games since Cowher called him out, that's 19 and that's 24. So that's 22 points a game. Okay, and yes, he had no interceptions, no turnovers against Carolina. He had four picks against the Giants. There's no doubt about that. But what happened? So you said he had five games to step up. He's 1-1, and now all of a sudden you go on another show and say I'd bench him. So as a coach, as a former, you know, Hall of Fame level, and I don't even know if he's in the Hall of Fame. I really don't care. But as a Hall of Fame level coach in this league, you can say one thing 2 weeks ago and then come back and the guy is 1-1 and you're telling me if you were the coach of the Cowboys, you would now bench him? Did you see 60 minutes of football against the Giants? Not the first 17. Did you see 60? Did you see the bootleg? Did you see the passes? Did you see the calls? Did you see the things that he did for the entire game? Or are you doing the K-Star and just looking at four picks and saying he leads the league in picks, I'd bench him? It's funny because if anyone wants to check and see who K-Star's starting quarterback in the EFL Fantasy Football League is, it's Tony Romo. Now, full disclosure, he didn't draft him, but he hasn't moved him. He hasn't put him on the bench for somebody else. And we only have 14 teams in the EFL, so, I mean, there's quarterbacks out there. So, you know, you say get rid of Tony Romo, bench Tony Romo, but Tony Romo is your starting quarterback. I just want to say this, and we got a caller, but before I take this call, I want to say this. The Cowboys got problems. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But anybody out there that thinks Kyle Orton is the answer is delusional. You need to stop watching football and go seek psychiatric help. There is absolutely no way that Kyle Orton gives the Dallas Cowboys a better chance to win than Tony Romo. That's not debatable. That's not open for discussion. There's just absolutely no way. Period. Let me go to 609. 609 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? It's Jersey in the house here. Hey, quick question.
Yes, sir.
Unique situation. I'm 6-2, so I'm in first, but I'm going against a guy that scored 20 points. I've scored 12-10. He's in the other division. Here's my dilemma. I have Brady off. I thought Folks might start. I've had Folks on my bench for about 5 weeks now, but that's not happening. Here's my dilemma, guys. What I can pick from in this league, it's 20. You get a point for every 20 yards passing, 6 points for a passing touchdown, 10 points for a rushing touchdown, and if you hit 300 yards passing, you get 4 more bonus points, 350, 8 more bonus points, so forth. What I have to choose from is very weak. You have Skelton. You have Wilson from Seattle. You have Blaine Gabbert from Jacksonville, and you have Hasselbeck. So as you can see, it's very well slim pickings. So any suggestions based on my scoring? Who may give me the most upside this week? I'm up 39-0 because my defense, San Diego, gave me 31 points, and Ryan Matthews only gave me 8. So, you know, I'm trying to get
You got a little room there. You got a little room to play with. You've got Skelton going up against Green Bay. Green Bay's defense, although improving, has not, you know, they're still in the bottom third of the league. I just don't like Skelton. He's not a fantasy giant. He doesn't put a lot of points on the board, so I'm not thrilled with that. Let's see who we got for Seattle. Seattle's going up against Minnesota, huh?
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to run the ball and do more ball control with Wilson, although Wilson is pretty good at home. You know, Minnesota has averaged about 19 points to the quarterback, but how much he's going to throw at home, I don't know. He's usually a 150, 200, maybe a touchdown and an interception-type quarterback. His best game was against New England because they were so far behind. He had the pass. They couldn't run. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You got Gabbert up against Detroit, and you got Hasselbeck up against the Bears. Bears are playing lights out D.
You got it.
Hasselbeck's a veteran, but God, those Bears, and the problem is they're getting turnovers and points, which, you know, I'm sure would have a negative impact on your quarterback scoring. You're giving us, you're right. You're in a tough spot. Thank God the San Diego defense came through for you, give you a little cushion. I'd go with Blaine Gabbert against the Lions. The Lions defense has not been playing that great. Gabbert's got a couple of weapons out there. I don't know if MJD is going to be back, but they're probably going to be passing the ball more without him in the backfield. I think that's going to give you your best chance to get some points.
Okay. So that's what I was leaning towards because, like I said, it's not uncommon that Skelton couldn't put up a 300 game with his receivers. But like you said, you don't know what he's going to do. He's been back only a couple weeks. He did put up a lot against Philly last year, but he would start. You just don't know with that line what they're going to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, Skelton's possibility. You know, Woodson's out for the year with Green Bay, so they're down a cornerback. But, you know, that damn Matthews gets in the backfield. I mean, he lives back there.
Yep.
And they're going to dial up some blitzes. And, you know, and the other thing is, you know, Green Bay's offense keeps the Cardinals' offense off the field. So how many possessions is Skelton really going to get to be able to even attempt to put up some points with Arizona, with Green Bay, who I think is playing some good ball again. Arizona's got a decent D, but I just don't think they match up well against Green Bay. And I just don't think Skelton's very good. At the end of the day.
Yeah, me too. I agree,
has an upside. There's some potential there. You know, I just don't think Skelton's very good. So, I mean, my never-to-be-humble opinion is Gabbert.
I'll pick Gabbert. Hey, listen, quick question. In my PPR league, I mean, I got Witten going for me. You know, I got Forte going for me. I was going to sit Julio Jones, and I have Marius Moore going, and I also got Cruz. You think that's a good move? Because I've been watching from beginning of the year to current Julio Jones. He's a dud on the road. He's a dud at home. Do you see that continuing? Because Demarius Moore, I was going to put in for him this week due to that scenario. It seems like they feature Gonzalez and Roddy White at home or since day one. What's your feeling on that?
You know, it's a tough one. Full disclosure, if you listen to the show, you know I'm a huge Cowboy fan. The Cowboys have been able to, you know, look what they did to Victor Cruz last week, 2 catches for, you know, 20 yards or something. They've been able to really do a decent job of taking featured receivers out of the game. They're going to have a tough matchup with Gonzalez. If Sean Lee was there, I'd say Sean Lee would match up pretty well with Gonzalez, but he's out. Bruce Carter's still learning how to cover. He's a decent cover guy, but he's not Sean Lee. So I think Gonzalez is going to hurt the Cowboys. Julio Jones is a monster, you know, and at any given time he can go off. But I think your gut on this is right. I think that the Cowboys pass D is a top 5 pass D in the NFL. And I think Julio Jones is going to have a hard time getting some touches, getting some catches, and getting in the end zone. So it's always tough to take a stud like that and bench him.
Right.
But, I think your gut on this is right. I think if you've got a better option.
I'm just trying to be a little gutsy. My guy's got – I'm playing, he's got Bradshaw, he's got Sproles, he's got Breeze. I forget who – he's got Mike Wallace. I forget who his other receiver is. He's got the Bears defense. He's missing Gronkowski this week, you know, but he's pretty much loaded all the way through there. So I'm just trying to give myself the best possible thing. And last question.
Well, let me ask you this. If you bench Jones, who are you putting in for Jones?
Demaryius Moore, Oakland. He's a stud.
Yeah, he is a stud.
Because I got Cruz as my other one who I started every week. So,
yeah.
And I'm keeping James Jones on the bench. So, Demaryius Moore has been, again, I could be wrong, but what I've been reading, especially who they're going against this week, he could be an absolute stud. So I'm just trying to
without
Brady,
that might not be
I'm trying
a bad
to.
Move. I mean, the Bucs traded Tlaib to the Packers. Patriots. And he's a pretty decent corner, so they're not going to have him to guard any, at all.
Well, any guys there.
And that's
what I figured. Hey, last question. I didn't mean to keep you on. In both my leagues, I am 6-2 in first. I have Hanson as my one kicker, and I have Houston's kicker in the other leg. I forget his name, but it'll come to me when I'm not thinking. But my backup in both my leagues is Hartley. Now, Hartley always used to be very well, but with New Orleans playing from behind, he's had 9 chances, made 7. Sweezum from Pittsburgh is available in both my leagues. Not that I would start Sweezum this week or whatever, but is Sweezum an option, a better option to have as my second kicker to use, or go between my first kicker and him between now and the playoffs versus Hartley on my bench?
I'd stick with Hartley. Sweezum, he's very inconsistent. And, there's a reason that the guy played for Dallas, played for the Redskins, and he now is over with Pittsburgh. I wouldn't touch him if I were you.
All right. Because he scored 30 points more than Hartley in one league and 20 more points in the other because he's had 17 opportunities and made 16 versus 9 and what's called making 7. So, again, I figured, I had you on. Let me just touch your base on there. And last thing, Junior wanted to ask me. He has Tannehill as his backup to Rodgers. Now, should he keep Tannehill for next week even though he's banged up, or should he put in for Alex Smith? Who's available, even though he's on a bye this week, he can grab him for next week.
I'd get Alex Smith all day. 18 for 19 in the last game. I think Alex Smith is finally starting to understand to step up, to become more than just a game manager. And with all the weapons he's got, I'd grab Alex Smith in a second. Crabtree's stepping up for them now. Moss is still, still productive. Of course, they've got Vernon Davis, Gore, out of the backfield. I'd grab Smith in a second.
You know what's been crazy with me? With my good team, I have Witten also, and I have Vernon Davis. I've been sitting Vernon Davis. I got 44 points from Witten last week because of the PPR league and the big bonus stuff. Vernon Davis, I don't know why they don't throw to him, but they did in the beginning.
There's one ball.
that's true.
Got a lot of options. And in Dallas – Austin and Bryant haven't been very reliable. Witten, after the first couple of games, come back from a spleen injury, he's been back to Witten. He's like Gonzalez and Gates. I mean, Mr. Reliable. So
in my other league, I do have Romo as my starter, and I have Witten as my thing, and I have Dez, but I never played Dez. Only when I played Dez when Reggie Wayne was out, and last week when AJ Green was out. Dez is on my bench. He's getting pines the rest of the year. He's getting thorns.
Can't blame you. But you know, he shows a little consistency. You may rethink that in a couple of games.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Romo. I need him to get more consistent because my backup is Alex Smith. And one time I did play him when Romo was out, Alex Smith did go off. So that did work out there. But, yeah, Romo's been my killer this year. He's been my Achilles heel. So hopefully he'll turn it around in that league. Even though I'm also 6-2 in first, so I've lucked out. So we'll see what happens. But, again, I really appreciate your insight, your information. I'll let Junior know what he needs to do with his team. Best of luck to you this weekend. Thanks for help on the on what to do here. I really appreciate it, man. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Take care. You too. Yep. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Good call about fantasy. I meant to ask him how he's doing down there. 609 is happening in Central Jersey because I used to live down in that area. And I meant to ask him if he was affected by the storm, but that's okay. Hopefully my insight was helpful, and it's just my opinion, as fantasy football. That's the beauty about fantasy football is you really just don't know and you do the best you can. And really it's kind of looking ahead and picking and seeing who's out there that might begin to produce and is it better than what you have on your team? And it really is, it's really a challenge. But anyway, all right. So I think the whole benching Romo thing I've beaten up enough. If you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. Romo's pushing for the Cowboys to play like they're losing. Amen to that. I won't dwell on it. But, you know, the team needs consistency on offense. They need to get into a rhythm. They need a sense of urgency. And, you know, I think that the fact that he's now noticing that, to me, is where have you guys been? Because you play well from behind, because you're pushing more and you're getting more in the rhythm. So why don't you start out like that? Why don't you just pretend you're down 21 to nothing and go out there? I've always said that this team, now that the defense is playing well, needs to get out there and get a lead. And the defense will hold that lead, which it didn't do last year. But we're not seeing that. We're seeing too many mistakes in the beginning. You know what was really depressing was watching the game last night where the San Diego whooped up on the Chiefs. And who was it that said the Chiefs aren't getting any respect? When we said, and I think I was the key one that said, I don't believe in them. I don't think they have anything to offer, and they're not going anywhere. And not that I'm always right, but this one I called right on the head. And they just look horrible. And unfortunately, there were times last night, you know, the punt return drop and turnovers, and I'm saying, Dallas, are you watching this game? Because this is what you look like when you're playing poorly. You look like this team that's 1-6 or 1-7 or whatever they are, and it's pathetic because this Cowboy team can look as good as 7-0 Atlanta and as bad as 1-6. And it really did. It was eerily familiar to what I saw in the early parts of the Giant game. It was something. But aren't those Chiefs just hapless and pathetic, I'll tell you. And poor Peyton Hillis, who's gone from being a fantasy stud to a backup, was injured and seven carries for 14 yards. I had a choice between starting him and Ronnie Brown in one league because it's kind of thin on running backs. And thankfully, I started Ronnie Brown, who was able to get me some points. And Hillis still remains on my bench. So I think he's going to get some shots now, particularly with Jamal Charles and whatever. You know, hopefully he's okay, but he's leaving the game with a head injury. A little bit more on the Cowboys. You know, as I look around Twitter, I see momentum picking up. It's amazing to me how many people are picking Dallas to beat Atlanta. Is it a sign that Atlanta just hasn't proven anything, or are people understanding that Dallas at 3-4 is better than their record? Now, I agree with Bill Parcells. You are what your record is. If your record says 3-4, you're 3-4, and that's it. But you know, I am shocked at the number of teams that are number of analysts that are picking the Cowboys to beat the undefeated Atlanta Falcons, and it's something. You know, part of it I think is attributed to Jerry Jones, because I noticed, you know, all I heard all this week was Stephen Jones coming out and saying that it's not Romo, the team coming out and saying that they're looking at 11-5. You know, Romo wants to pick up on the offense, and you know, all of this stuff coming out. And to me, what it is it's marketing. You know, Jerry Jones for the last 15 years has all of us, including Cowboy Nation, believing that the Cowboys are relevant and have a chance to win every year. And every year, they're the most watched football team on television, even though they haven't won a they've only won one playoff game in 15 years. I have NFL Network on right now. NFL Network has been on for 28 minutes, okay? We've been on the air for 28 minutes. And I'm looking at my second reference to the Cowboy-Atlanta game. Granted, it's a nationally televised Sunday night game. But why does a 3-4 team get so much coverage against undefeated Atlanta team? And don't tell me it's Atlanta that's getting this coverage. It's not the case. Okay, it's just not the case. This is about who they're playing. This is about the Cowboys, and can the Cowboys take them down? But, you know, I have one problem with them coming out talking about 11-5. As a Cowboy fan, that's great that that's your internal goal and you think it's very possible. That's lovely. But I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I want to hear what you're going to do Sunday against Julio Jones or Julio Jones, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, Michael Turner, Matt Ryan. What are you going to do with those guys coming into town? Or are you going into their town, I should say? You going into Atlanta to play these guys? You know, I want to hear that. I don't want to hear 11-5. Who cares? I don't want to hear it. You're 3-4. If you're 7-0 and you want to talk about going 12-4 or 13-3, okay. But at 3-4, 11-5, I mean, let's do the math. That means you finish 8-1. I don't know, other than maybe 07, if this team has had any stretch in the last 15 years of going 8-1. I think maybe in 97 when they went 13-3, they might have had a streak like that, maybe. But there's nothing in the 15-year history since the glory days of Aikman and the Big Three and Darren Woodson and all those guys that show that this team can do that. And to be honest, as a fan, I'm with you. I got your back. I spent a lot of Madden voice time talking about the Cowboys. Part of the reason is I love the team. The other part of the reason is I know that there's a lot of Cowboy Nation listening in, but we will get to other games shortly. So I'm with it, but I don't want to hear it. I want to hear, give me some reason to think that you're going to go in and beat Atlanta on Sunday night. And I know Witherspoon's out for Atlanta, so that's a good thing. But, you know, it doesn't look good for DeMarco Murray to play. Felix Jones, I mean, I'm not thrilled with Felix, to be honest with you. I'm not. I heard that Dez Bryant's not going to be returning punts. I'm very happy about that. I don't get it. Haven't gotten it for a while. I mean, I know last year and the year before he did good, but this year he's been sucking out, so he doesn't return punts. I mean, I don't ever remember Michael Irvin returning punts. You want to talk about great 88s? I know Drew Pearson never returned punts. You know, so I don't understand. And for the life of me, can we give up on the Ogletree experiment? I get it. The first game, 8 catches, 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. He ain't done nothing since. Nothing. You got Colt Beasley. You got Dwayne Harris. I mean, for the love of God, Jason Witten is your number one. Forget number 3 wide receiver. He's your number 1 target. Thank God we have Jason Witten. But, you know, we need a third receiver out there that's going to be somewhat productive, because if they're double covering Miles and they're double covering Bryant and they're double covering Witten, someone's going to be open. And we've seen that after the first game, Ogletree is exactly who we thought he was. Not very good. He can't produce on a consistent basis. Now, we could say that about the team. But I still believe that Dez is a wide receiver. I mean, did you see that catch? Yeah, his big hands went out of bounds, but did you see that catch? You know, I still believe in Miles. Yeah, he had an ugly fumble, you know. But I still believe in Miles, or maybe it was against Carolina, but whatever. I still believe in Miles, you know. But I don't believe in Ogletree, and it's time to end that experiment. I don't care what you do with him. If he's so – why isn't – this is what I understand. You could put Dez Bryant back there to return punts. Miles Austin doesn't return punts, and neither does Kevin Ogletree, but we're going to go with Colt Beasley returning punts. If Colt Beasley is that good that he can return punts, why don't you just go ahead and give him the number 3 wide receiver job? Put him in there for 2 games, and let's see what's up. I just don't get it. Let me see. The last thing I want to say about this game, and you guys already know I picked Dallas to win. There's a lot of pressure in Dallas. I have a funny feeling that Jerry Jones is really winding down his stint as general manager. I don't think he'll give up ownership. It'll stay in the family. And I think he'll just remain, just as Steinbrenner did. I think he'll remain the owner of the team until he dies. But I think as general manager, as that day-to-day guy, as a general manager, I think Stephen Jones is being groomed. He's been groomed for a while. And I think, we're hearing more quotes from Stephen Jones coming out of the press, more interviews with Stephen Jones. And it's like Jerry Jones is slowly starting to take a back seat and Stephen is starting to step up. And from what I understand about Stephen Jones, to have him as a general manager, I mean, he's the guy in the war room. He's the guy that kind of when Jerry wants to do something a little outlandish, he's his conscience and says, Jerry, let's talk about this. Let's think about this. And so this might be a really good move for Dallas, not only in the long run, but in the short run. So keep an eye on that. But I think after this year, we might see a switch. I mean, Jerry Jones is, I think he's 70, 69, something like that. It's in the late 60s. You know, he's got a lot of businesses and a lot of things going on other than the Cowboys. So don't be surprised to see a switch there and Jerry to remain owner and Stephen Jones to be named general manager. And don't anyone mistake the fact that because it's his son and his name is Stephen, that he's going to be just like Jerry, because he's not. I can assure you of that. But we'll talk more about that when and if it happens. We talked about D'Angelo Hall on Tuesday, and more information has come out. He was fined but not suspended. And if you didn't know, this was the Steeler game against Pittsburgh game. I'm sorry, Redskin game against the Steelers, and he had a verbal tirade against one of the refs. We went down on him pretty hard on Tuesday night, and I stand by everything I said. But the question remains is, why was he not suspended? He was fined, and he wasn't suspended. And I don't get it, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but there was a quote from Goodell about, you know, we will not stand for our referees getting disrespected, blah, 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 blah. And the only thing I can think of is the reason that he was fined and not suspended is there's more than we know, that the ref, you know, may have incited something. I heard on one of the shows that D'Angelo Hall was in the tunnel making comments like, that ref's not going to disrespect me. And I just wonder what the ref might have said. What don't we know? And the only thing that I can say to, you know, the Madden Voice Nation is when I watch, and I've watched that over and over again, and D'Angelo Hall is not my favorite cornerback. I don't like him as a player. I don't like his personality. He's a trash talker, and he can't really back it up. He's had good games, but overall, he's overrated. But that said, when you look at the intensity of his anger, that doesn't come from a referee saying, you know you're wrong or you made a bad play or whatever. There was something personal said, in my opinion. And the fact that D'Angelo Hall was not suspended means that he went in either himself or through his agent, his representation, and said, here's what happened. And Goodell bought into it and said, fine, we're not going to suspend you. We'll just fine you because you still need to set a tone that that's not going to happen. But you can't go out and tell what happened. This has to remain as league business. You can't repeat what happened. I hear you. I understand. I'll deal with that ref for what he said. But I must fine you for appearance purposes. But in return for not suspending you, you've got to keep this private. And D'Angelo, of course, said, yeah, you know, fine. I'll pay the fine. And I just wonder what type of thing could make D'Angelo Hall go that ballistic, that insane. Think about it. My final words will be, it was a Caucasian referee talking to an African-American. You can figure out what I'm implying. Let's move on. Trade deadline was quiet. Tlaib, cornerback for the Bucks, gets traded to the Pats with a 7-round pick, and they get a 4th-round pick. Tlaib's in a suspension. I'm not sure when he'll be back, but it's a 4-game suspension. So good pickup for the Pats. Tlaib's been a solid cornerback, and we know the Pats need some help on D. And that was really it. All of D'Angelo Williams and Steven Jackson talk didn't amount to anything for those of you sitting around there hoping that they would come to your teams. A very quiet year when it comes to trades, and so not much happened in the trade world yesterday, which was kind of surprising. And you know, because Herm Edwards, 10-year anniversary, we have to give him one more shout out.
Hello, you play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out.
Yeah, I love that. I have to replay we replay that all year long. I don't care. Michael Vick is going to stay the starter in Philadelphia. Good move. I know what I said Tuesday night, and I said, why not? But, you know, the more I think about it, it is not too dissimilar to the Tony Romo conversation. You got a young quarterback, unproven. You got a good preseason game, but that's about it. You got a $100 million man. That is your franchise. You let Kevin Cobb go, which, I mean, Cobb's better than Skelton, but Cobb hasn't been all that impressive either. You don't have Donovan McNabb anymore. So Vic has come in off the street, out of jail, off the street into Philly and displaced two quarterbacks. And you're paying him quite a bit of money to do that. I think you ride him. And if I'm Andy Reid and I'm looking to keep my job, you know, this guy, I mean, frankly, this guy owes you his life because he was bankrupt, foreclosed, broke coming out of jail, and few teams had any interest in giving him a chance with all of the negativity surrounding him. And you, Andy Reid, obviously gave him a chance. So now I think you go to him and sit him down and say, hey, my job's on the line, bro. You know, I need you to step up, cut down on the turnovers, lead this team, play like you did the last four games of last year. That's what I need you to do. Now, as a Cowboy fan, I hope he doesn't. But as a football fan, he's the best chance. He even said he needs to get his swag back. I mean, yeah, I would say that when we talk about winning, and you guys heard me talk about winning the other day, I was very clear that winners just go into competition expecting to win. They go in expecting to win. And when they lose, they take it hard. They take it personal. But then it remotivates them to come back out better the next week. No excuses, no explanations. We're going to come back. Okay, you got me on this one. I can't wait to see you next week. I heard Wade Phillips said that he'd love to get the Packers one more time. I respect that bravado coming from Wade Phillips, defensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. But I wonder where that was when you were the head coach. I never, in 4 years that you were the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, never heard that fire out of you. Never, not once. But that's what you need, that passion. Let's go to the phone, 615 area code. I know it's well.
Hello, Mike. Hello. T.
Yes.
Okay, man, I got a few comments, man. I want to start with Kyle Orton. And I like Kyle Orton. I would not want to see him play for Dallas. I think he's a boring quarterback. He's not exciting. But there has to be an argument able to be made. Would he have won more games as of right now if he was starting than Tony Romo?
I don't see the argument. I just don't see anything in Kyle Orton's career that points to him being a winner long term. Could he come in a game or two maybe? Could he come in, you know, Romo gets knocked out of a game, you know, and they're keeping him on the sidelines and play a couple of quarters? I think that's what they brought him to do. But to talk about him coming in and being the starter of that team for a full season and outperforming Tony Romo and
he's not going to outperform Tony Romo, but what he does, he slows the game down. It seems like people – I remember when he came in for Chicago, and things just slowed down. It seemed like everybody else picked up around him because they knew this brother needed help, man. And they won, like, I think, 5 or 6 games straight.
But here's the question. Here's the simple question is why then in the off season does this guy not have a job? I mean, Denver lets him go. He's out.
He's not a starting quarterback. I mean, he's boring. Nobody want to see him play for that. I wouldn't want to. Even if he might get an extra win or something, I wouldn't want to see him play. I like Tony Romo. I wish. I like that. I don't think he's as good as you see he is, but I like him. I like Tony Romo. I don't want to see Kyle Orton play, but maybe. Maybe as of right now, if he was starting from the beginning of the year, maybe they have an extra win or two. Because Romo threw some picks. He's almost blew some games.
Well, I can't argue with the fact that Romo is not playing this year at the level that he's played at previously, especially last year, where I think he was, you know, he was elite last year. This year, he's not. And I've been very clear on the show to say that Romo is not playing to the level that I'm used to seeing him play at. That said, you know, you have the oh no Tony that goes down 23-0 to the Giants with mistakes and turnovers, and then you have the elite Tony that brings him back to 24-23.
He looked totally different. But he can do it, man. You know, I'm in Tennessee, and we see a bunch of quarterbacks that they just can't do that. They can't bring nobody back. They don't have the accuracy or the eye to get it done like Romo can if he's at his best.
Take a team like Tennessee. They got Locker and Hasselbeck. Take a team like Arizona. They've got Skelton and Cobb. Take a team like Kansas City with Castle and Quinn. And none of those teams wanted Kyle Orton, who I would argue be better or at least on level with a Hasselbeck. You know, I would argue that he's better than Castle, okay, Kyle Orton, but none of them wanted Kyle Orton.
I don't know. I'd rather have Orton than Castle. I wouldn't rather have Orton than Hasselbeck. Let's keep Hasselbeck.
I'd rather have Orton than Castle, yet the Chiefs didn't go get him, and they're in the same division.
You're right.
So,
they didn't.
Play. They didn't get him. So that's why I say, the discussion of benching Romo for Orton is just, it's lunacy. You know, he's there to be a backup because, you know, Kitna retired. Kitna was a solid backup. You know,
I agree with that. I would not want to see Orton come in for Romo. Listen, I agree with that. I think that would be, to put Romo on the bench for Orton is just, it's depressing to think about. But let me hit on a few more subjects with you real quick if I can. Two is, you was just talking about Michael Vick, whom I'm a fan of Michael Vick. I've been following him. He's the reason, one reason why I like to watch the Falcons. And then I actually thought that his backup, who's now the Texans, actually thought towards the end of his career in the Falcons, Atlanta, Schwab started to outplay him. He was a better quarterback, and he is a better quarterback than him now. I think Vic, it's sad to say, I think he's done reached his ceiling. I want to see him play. He's exciting to watch. But it's almost like he's done reached his ceiling. He's not getting any better. I don't want him to get benched, but I just don't think we're going to see some of the explosiveness out of him that we saw in the last couple of years at times. And it's sad to say that the Michael Vick experience. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a similar discussion that we're having about Tony Romo. The team, the best chance to win. I don't think Vic has any more upside. I think he's an experienced veteran, and he's not going to get any better. What he can do, however, is manage the game a little bit better, keep himself under control, and very similarly to Tony Romo, cut down on the mistakes and the turnovers. I think it's a very similar conversation. They're very different quarterbacks. But it's funny that both their teams are 3-4. Both of their teams were picked to compete for the division title this year, and they're both struggling, and for similar reasons, underachieving play by their quarterbacks. I do have much more faith, you know, maybe it's because I'm a fan, that Tony Romo and Michael Vick. One is, I think the Cowboys defense is better than the Philly defense right now. And two, I wonder if the culmination of hits that Vic has taken, because he comes out of the pocket a lot, he likes to run, he likes to scramble, and he gets injured a lot, he gets hit a lot. And I'm just wondering, with all of his fumbles, not just the interceptions, but the fumbles he's had, something like 7 fumbles this year, is he just bell rung too many times, and he gets out there and he just loses his sense of what's going on because of the hits starting to take their effect. I really think there's something to that, and I think that if I'm Andy Reid, you got to ride Michael Vick, and if you lose your job because of it, at least you know you played the best quarterback on your roster. And if you guys get to 3-7, 3-8, I mean, do you bring in the rookie or second-year player, whatever he is? Well, maybe at that point you bring him in, but your job's done, Andy, so it doesn't really matter at that point. So who's going to help not be 3-7, 3-8? It's got to be Michael Vick.
When does that game happen, Eagles and Cowboys?
Next week.
Okay, so I'm going to call in and talk a little trash to you on that one. All right, next one. This is my last one. I wish Train was on. I'll probably call him and talk to him about it. But Chicago's coming to Tennessee. I want to know from you, does Tennessee have a chance? Come on. I'm feeling kind of good about this one. Maybe that's just being over-enthusiastic about it. But I think Tennessee might have a chance to take down the Bears. If they do, I'm going to call Buck. I'm going to text them. I'm talking crazy to them the whole game. What do you think, man?
Well, you know, before last week's game, I would have said you need to go get yourself drug tested, okay? I would not have given the Titans a chance. They're home, and Chris Johnson's starting to come back to form. Hasselbeck's looking pretty good. And we saw a Bears team play abysmal in Carolina last week. They just didn't play well. They got it together enough to win, and that's the sign of a championship team when you can come back like that and win. And we saw that with the Bears against Carolina. So I don't think you're crazy that Tennessee has a puncher's chance in this game. I don't think you're crazy at all. I think Chicago's going to win, but I think it's going to be a battle. And I think Hasselbeck right now, you know, he's at a point now where he lost his starting job, and he doesn't want Locker to come back in. And how he keeps that job is to win games. So he's as good as he's ever been. And that could be some, that could present some interesting challenges for those Bears. Let's not forget that while the Bears have a great defense, they also have an aging defense. And people can get, you can move the ball on them a little bit. You can get some things done against the Bears. They don't give up a lot of points, but they do give up some yards. I do think you have a puncher's chance, but you got to go at them early. You got to get them off balance. I think what they need to do is go in there, run some hurry up, you know, get Chris Johnson on track early, throw in some play action passes, and really try to get the Bears defense kind of off balance. And I think they have a shot.
Man, let's go. I think they got a shot too. I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be a great week of football, man. Hey, you're doing a great job on the show. Thanks for letting me in. And God bless, brother.
Same to you, brother. Thanks for calling. All right. So as we wrap up this week's show, you know, we're going to, you know, kind of look at the week 9 picks coming up. Before I do that, one last thing I wanted to talk about, another big game. There's a lot of games this week. But, you know, I know I spent a lot of time on Dallas and Atlanta, arguably the game of the week. But I'll tell you, an honorable mention would go to the Pittsburgh Steelers going into New York. That's going to be an interesting game because both teams' schedules this week were probably affected by Hurricane Sandy. So we don't know, you know, certainly Pennsylvania got some impact. We already know New Jersey, New York did, and travel and all that preparation. So, but that said, you know, this is going to be a great game. You've got, you know, the quarterbacks that we say go back and forth at being probably the fifth cog to the top five quarterback in the NFL, Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning. They go back and forth, and they both have two Super Bowl wins, you know, in this era. Both have had, you know, very good defenses. Coaches are both considered very good coaches at this point. You know, I've never been a fan of the Giants coach, and I'm drawing a complete blank, Tom Coughlin, what his name is, Coughlin. But, you know, when I found out that his numbers coaching the Giants were up against Parcells, and, you know, he's got two Super Bowls, you know, I got to give the guys credit. We like Mike Tomlin because of his no-excuse mentality. And, you know, so you've got that. This is going to be a heck of a game. Now, from what I hear, it looks like Rashad Mendenhall might be back. Looks like Polamalu is still out. But what we saw, and again, I hate everything to come back to Dallas, but you know what? That's my right. You know, we've seen the Giants defense, especially this pass defense, have a lot of problems. And, you know, Tony Romo threw for over 400 yards against the Giants. Now, granted, he had to throw 62 passes. Granted, they were playing from behind most of the game, but it's still over 400 yards. And we know that Big Ben's a great quarterback and has got some great weapons to catch the ball. And with Mendenhall possibly coming back, their number two running back, I can't remember his name, he's supposed to be back. I got to tell you, and the New York Giants don't play that well at home. Now, maybe there'll be an emotional high. The game is in New Jersey and all the stuff that's going on, and that might be enough to kind of balance out the fact they don't play well at home. But that said, I got to tell you, I picked Pittsburgh, and I'm telling you, the more I look at this game, the more I think that Pittsburgh's going to go in here and take down the Giants. I can't lose either way. If Pittsburgh wins, then the Giants lose, and that's a loss in the NFC and helps me out. If the Giants win, can't stand that, but then I get the rag K-Star Tuesday night. So either way for me, but keep an eye on this game. And I think what it's going to come down to is it's going to be a close game, but watch the defenses and who can get at the quarterback better. Who can rush the quarterback better and keep either Eli or Ben uncomfortable in the pocket. Neither one of these quarterbacks, when they're pressured, play very well. They both have the ability to move around and make space. Ben's probably a little more agile than Eli, but they both move around well, and Ben will take off in a second. But it's really going to come down to pressure. And we haven't seen the Giants' defense really do what they've done previously, putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. We haven't seen the Steelers' defense do that consistently this year either. So whoever can get at the quarterback, I think. So watch hurries, knockdowns, and sacks. Watch those stats, and I think the team who has more of those is going to win this game Sunday afternoon. So let's look at Week 9, and we got probably about six more minutes on the air, and I want to finish off looking at Week 9 and just giving you some insight on some of the other games that we didn't talk about, and certainly, you know, the caller addressed a few of the games. But, you know, we did talk about Denver and Cincinnati, and you know, I think it's a no-brainer to go with Denver in that game. Peyton Manning, offensive player of the month for October and number one rated passer in the NFL. So you got to go with Denver over the Bengals. Bengals getting close to must-win games at 3-4. You know, teams with four losses right now don't want to get to five kind of at the midpoint of the year. It's just not a good idea if you're trying to make the playoffs. The Ravens going to Cleveland. I keep waiting for Cleveland to wake up and get a signature win that starts them on a path. It's not going to be this week. Ravens are going to take this game. It's in Cleveland. You've got the Falcons. I'm sorry, not the Falcons. Falcons play the Cowboys. We have the Arizona Cardinals against Green Bay. We talked about that game when the fantasy caller called in. Aaron Rodgers is looking like Aaron Rodgers again. The Packers defense is suspect, but I just don't think the Cardinals on offense, even though the Packers on defense is not very good, I think the Cardinals on defense is not good enough to stop consistently the Packers on offense. They couldn't stop the 49ers, and the Packers have a better offense, more punch than the 49ers. So NFL.com, they have one of their writers predicts 27-17. I don't think it'll be that close. You've got Buffalo traveling to Houston to play the Texans. Houston, even though they have one loss, to the Packers, can certainly make a claim as playing some of the best football in the NFL, and I think they continue to dominate, and I think they blow out the Bears. Miami and the Colts, we talked about this. I went with Indy. A lot of people are going with Miami. I'm still not a believer in Miami. I know that they're starting to put some wins together, and they're 4-3 right now, but who would have thought that the Colts are 4-3? And again, I will say it again, even though it's not the same team, this team was playoff team 2 years ago before Peyton Manning got hurt. He missed one season, ladies and gentlemen. He missed one season, which was last season. The year before that, they went to the playoffs. So now they have Andrew Luck, who's playing pretty well. He's not getting all the hype that RG3 is getting, but he's playing pretty well. And I think the Colts are going to take out the Dolphins at home. Jags are hosting the Lions. You know, Lions are starting to make a little run here. And I don't like either team, but of the two, I think the Lions just have more weapons, and they'll get a close victory here. Bears and Titans could be a trap game for the Bears on the road against Tennessee. Tennessee's motivated again, something to play for. Matt Hasselbeck is you know, really trying to prove that he should be the starter. Chris Johnson's trying to run the ball better, you know, and I think they're going to give the Bears all they can handle. But go with the Bears on this one. Panthers at the Redskins. This game is intriguing for a lot of reasons, because you have last year's rookie Cam Newton, this year's rookie RG3 going head-to-head. Similar play styles, although Cam is a bigger, more physical quarterback than Cam Newton. And Cam Newton even said, I'd much rather be compared to Aaron Rodgers than Cam Newton. But nevertheless, the comparisons are going to be there. Two African-American quarterbacks that are agile, they have great arms. And I think Cam Newton's going to look across the field and see who he should be playing like. And I don't think he's going to play like that. Now, the Washington defense isn't very good, and the Carolina defense played really good against the Bears. But I think RG3, you know, I believe in the kid. I really do. I am rooting for the Panthers, but I would be picking the Redskins in this game. Bucks playing the Raiders. It's kind of a who-cares game, even though the Bucks had a great win last week. I think the Bucks have another win and start to make their division very interesting. The Bucks will take out the Raiders. The Raiders are home in a black hole. You've got the Vikings going into Seattle. If this was in Minnesota, I definitely would pick Minnesota. On Tuesday night, I picked Minnesota. I tell you, the more I think about it, it's a pick 'em game to me. I'm going to stick with my Minnesota pick, but I may post something on the Madden Voice before Sunday, and I may go back to Seattle, because Seattle is such a tough place to play. But I believe Minnesota, if they can get Percy Harvin gone, if Adrian Peterson can get running again, and, you know, if their quarterback, I can't remember his name. Goodness gracious, I'm drawing blanks today. But, y'all, Christian Ponder, and if he can play a decent game, I mean, he's better to me than Russell Wilson, but not by much. So, be a very interesting game. Kind of similar teams if you look at them. Good running backs, good defenses, younger quarterbacks, you know, similar teams. So, we'll see. Right now, I'd go with Minnesota in the edge. We talked about this game earlier, Steelers and the Giants. I still got to stick with the Steelers on this one. And, of course, Sunday night, Cowboys and the Falcons. You know, if you look at what they did with the Giants and you take away the first quarter, the Cowboys have really had the Giants number this year. Even though they split the series, if you look at every category, statistically, head-to-head, everything, the Cowboys have had the Giants number this year. Well, the Falcons are built very similarly to the Giants, very similar team. So I think the Cowboys are going to match up pretty well with the Giants, with the Falcons. If you're a betting man, of course you want to bet on the Falcons. If you're a fan, you want to go with the Cowboys. Monday night, we have the Eagles playing the Saints in New Orleans. Should be a good game. A lot of pressure on Philly. I have said that the Saints were done, but this could be a signature win for them at home. But their defense has got to step up. We have two teams that their defenses just aren't playing very well. That's what we have. Philly's defense is not looking good, and neither is the Saints. We don't know if Darren Sproles is going to play. I hope so, because I got him on my fantasy team. He got a hand injury or something, but I expect that he'll get out there. But expect this to be a pretty good game. You know, when I don't know who to pick, I look at coaching. I don't like either. I've never been a fan of Andy Reid. I think he's one of the most overrated coaches in the NFL. He has not done much. Yes, they've won, you know, divisions, and they've gone to conference championship games with McNabb and won Super Bowl. But honestly speaking, underachiever with some of the talent that they've had in Philly. Joe Vitt, he's an interim head coach. So I can't let the coaching sway me. So now I'm going to go to the leader of the team. I'm going to go to the quarterbacks. Michael Vick just said he's got to get his swag back. It means he doesn't have any. I think Drew Brees still believes he's the best quarterback in the NFL. I think he still thinks that this team can get on a run and can go to the playoffs. I think he still believes. Maybe erroneously, but I think he still believes. That said, I got to go with the Saints. I think the Saints are going to at home. Tough place to play in New Orleans. You get that stadium rock, and I've been there, and I think the Saints are going to win this game. So those are my picks. I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed Lunch with Kamish T. I hope you brought a sandwich, and I hope I was able to educate you. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We will be back Tuesday night, Election Day, November 6th, 7 o'clock show for 1 hour only. And then we'll let you know if we're going to come back Wednesday night and what the schedule is going to be. But we'll definitely be here 7 o'clock sharp Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for 1 hour to allow everyone to go ahead and let's see who's going to be the 45th president of the United States. Do we get Barack Obama for another 4 years, or do we get Mitt Romney? I'm an Obama supporter, so I would urge all the Obama people to come out and make sure you vote for Obama. I would urge everyone to vote, though, no matter who you support. This is your chance to get your voice heard. If you can complain about the things that are going on in your city, in your state, in your region, in your country, the way to be heard in this country is not to stand outside and smoke a cigarette with your neighbor and complain. It's to go on Tuesday and cast your ballot for the representation that you think is going to make improvements for what you consider to be the priorities of this country, the priorities of your region, the priorities of your state, and the priorities of your town. If you don't do that, you, in my opinion, have no right to complain, and you need to just deal with it, suck it up, because you haven't expressed your feelings through voting. That's what voting is there for. I urge everyone out there to vote. Tell a friend to tell a friend to go vote. And tell a friend to tell a friend to listen to the Madden Voice. We'll be back Tuesday night. Enjoy the games this weekend. And one last word, if in fact you're listening to this show and you were somehow affected by Hurricane Sandy, I sincerely hope that the last hour gave you something else to think about other than the problems that you may be facing. We wish everyone well. We hope you get your power back, get your places rebuilt, and help your neighbor out. And so for the Madden Voice, for all my callers and all my listeners, I want to thank you. And remember, you tune into the Madden Voice to get educated. But on Sunday, we're going to watch all these feuds get settled on the field. Talk to you Tuesday night.